You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Ashley Crowder.
We're at this precipice of every brand really needing to figure out how do they create their digital twin, not just their website. You know, when the internet first started, people just threw up a brochure, you know, and that was their website. It was awful. Now we have these amazing, interactive, seamless websites. We're at that point where every brand needs to figure that out for this 3D spatial computing world.
Ashley is the co-founder and CEO of Ventana, the industry-leading platform that automates the conversion of physical products into 3D web, AR, VR, and hologram e-commerce experiences. She has worked in the mixed reality space for over 7 years, creating unique hologram activations for Fortune 1000 brands, including Adidas, Lexus, Intel, and more. Prior to co-founding Ventana, she gained valuable engineering experience at Gulfstream, Northrop Grumman, and BP, now leveraging her engineering background to guide Ventana's overall direction and technology development to shape the future of e-commerce. Under her leadership, Ventana has released the fastest and easiest way to create, manage, and distribute 3D assets for web, AR, and VR in an end-to-end CMS, making it easy to create 3D versions of every product in the world. Ashley, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
There is so much to unpack there. And I should also note for those listening that may have seen your name and my name together out there that we were initially supposed to present this as a live podcast at South by Southwest. It is decidedly less live and more virtual, like so many things here in this window of time that we find ourselves in right now. But you are also, I think, a somewhat perfect guest to be talking about things virtually with.
I was going to say, so happy to be here virtually. You know, it's crazy what's going on, but I think we're going to have more and more of this. You know, I've been in the mixed reality space for a long time. I'm even part of a group that meets in VR every Wednesday night at 8. So I think that's going to start to get more popular these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that it's like everything was creeping more and more this direction, but all of a sudden, pick a metaphor. We got the training wheels torn off. The lead time. You know, we went shooting straight hockey stick up here, but it's fascinating. Well, we said that. I think I referenced the word window just now, and I did want to spend a little bit of time on that. This is incredibly granular to all the cool things that we can talk about. But one thing that I really love, just this being a branding show, is that you see a lot of great and not so great brand names out there. But I love I love your brand name, Ventana. And I was always get the correct pronunciation before we start recording. I assumed it was like that. And you mentioned that there's an interesting story behind that as well.
Yeah. So Ventana means window in Spanish. We dropped the E for trademark reasons because we're based in Los Angeles and there's a lot of window companies called Ventana. but the idea was that we're giving people this view into this other world, you know, looking through that window into this digital space. So the whole purpose in founding Ventana was about how do we get the digital in the real world and allow people that seamless interaction. And technology over the past decade has really allowed us to start doing that. You know, phones are now capable of augmented reality like never before. Thank God for Pokemon Go. That really opens that up, you know. And people are starting to have VR headsets. But even the web can now support 3D, which is incredible. And so we're at this precipice of every brand really needing to figure out how do they create their digital twin. Not just their website. You know, when the internet first started, people just threw up a brochure, you know, and that was their website. And it was awful. Now we've really figured that out. Now we have these amazing, interactive, seamless websites. We're at that point where every brand needs to figure that out for this 3D spatial computing world. And at Ventana, because we've been building kind of turnkey solutions for brands like Intel, Adidas, Nike, and others over the years, we've built a lot of software to help easily create those digital twins or 3D versions of your products. And so we're just so excited, you know, obviously not about coronavirus, just about this time in general of all of the technology that everyone has at the palm of their hand.
Well, it's interesting, and I love a good metaphor, and I picked right up on that. And you talked about the online twin, and you can stop me if I'm taking the metaphor too far, because I've certainly been known to do that. But is your online twin for a brand, is it, this is the eye roll part, is it an identical twin?
We're getting there. Yeah. So, you know, with 3D products, so shoes, glasses, jewelry, things like that, it can look identical and totally real. And what we do is we start, a lot of those products are designed in 3D to begin with. Cars, drones, you know, anything that's manufactured has been being designed in 3D for a long time now with AutoCAD and other programs. It's just that those files have so much detail and are so big, you can't just throw those on your website or put them on your phone, right? Your phone would crash. And so what we're doing is we're shrinking them down, making them compatible. And we've done a lot of work on really creating this optimization algorithm that understands the shape and what it's supposed to look like. So we shrink it down as far as possible to be able to put on your website without slowing it down or on your phone. But it still looks very real and it looks like your original design. So with products, we're there. People is another thing. You know, Microsoft, Intel, they've all been working on amazing photogrammetry and volumetric capture, which is incredible. People still don't necessarily look totally real, but it's very, very close. It's getting there. And then you've got the deep fakes, which is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think there's all of these things. And I think to a lot of brand builders out there, there's a lot of things that are possible that we can do. And I think the struggle seems to be is where do we start? Do we start with a specific aspect of the business that is a challenge where one of these application makes sense? Is there a more holistic approach? What's the best starting point?
It's a great question. So I think it depends on your product line. So if you are a business that sells physical products, you know that content is king. E-commerce is growing significantly. You have to have an e-commerce strategy to be a business selling products today, especially now that no one's leaving their house to go into a retail store.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see how that increases in 2020. But just looking at Amazon, if you have a product on Amazon, a good product store has 7 images. Amazon adds 500,000 new products a day. So you do 500,000 times 7 images. That is an insane amount of content.
Yeah.
So you already are doing photo shoots and video shoots. And that's great. And it's all digital because we already saw this transition from film to digital, you know, over the past 20 years. And now we're moving from digital to CGI. CGI is computer generated images, and that's those 3D images I'm talking about. And they can actually save you money. So imagine all the number of photo shoots and product shoots you do. If you actually started with a 3D asset, you could do everything digitally and you wouldn't even need to have a photo shoot. IKEA's catalog,
yeah,
completely CGI, actually. 100% of their kitchen catalog is CGI. No photos.
That's fascinating. And that makes me think of the other IKEA feature related to that of, I can't remember what they've named the feature of just being able to overlay and see what that unpronounceable chair looks like in your living room.
Right. Yeah. Their AR app, IKEA really was far ahead of their time. One of the first to really dive into 3D and augmented reality. And they saw a huge increase in that. They had a 35% increase in revenue they attributed to their augmented reality in 3D, which is massive.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show. So that's an interesting, like, both sides of it. I would imagine a lot of the conversations that, I mean, maybe not that you have, because someone maybe understands things a little bit better if they've made it to you. But I think that back to that first thing of where do you start, and just trying to find a way in. But then when someone hears something about a 35% increase, how do I get one of those? All of a sudden, you've talked about something that is extremely relevant. And sometimes I feel like marketers and marketing leaders can be skeptical of shiny new things. But when they lead to some of these results, all of a sudden, I feel like the ears perk up a little bit more.
Results are everything, right? You know, no one... the shiny new thing will only last so long, but you know, we're, as a company, we've been in this space for a long time, and we're happy to kind of answer questions and help people. Cause I think it's starting to look at, how do you create content as a company? How does your sales and marketing team get the assets they need to create the experiences, and starting there, and then saying, okay, well, IKEA saw a 35% increase in revenue with their augmented reality app, where people could actually see furniture in their home, which would really help me. I'm terrible at anything design. I bought a coffee table. It looks like a doll table next to my couch, right? Like, the sizing is really important. but it's not just furniture. So Shopify launched their augmented reality support last year, and they did a study, and they showed an uptick of double conversion rates. So people were twice as likely to purchase if they were able to use the augmented reality feature, because they could actually better understand the product. And it's also reducing returns. So there's real money there. And so starting from there, then you can look at, okay, what is my content pipeline today? How could I start to implement this? You know, and a lot of times it's because sales and marketing doesn't talk to design and doesn't even know that they have 3D models. Well, you know, we worked with Lexus years ago. We did a number of, you know, hologram experiences in stadiums, and they were like, oh, we don't have a 3D model. And I was like, you do, because you designed the car. So I bet we can find it. It's going to take, you know, the big companies like that are often siloed. You know, it's going to take multiple conversations to find it. But that's why I think management really needs to look at this of, you know, again, it is as big as that transition of film to digital. So it really needs to come from the top and say, okay, how can we get these assets usable across our organization, so we're not recreating these? Because that's what we see a lot of the time too.
Yeah, I love that. You built a car. There's a 3D model out there.
Yeah, but it has to exist.
You talk about some of these needs and some of those results. But the other thing that you touched on in there, even from your own experience and some of the results on the Shopify side of twice as likely to purchase, and folks like you that are using the IKEA tools. And by the way, I'm the same way with IKEA. If I just get it all from IKEA, I know it all goes together, and then I don't have to think about it as much. But I think considering that consumer need of you know, we make fun of ourselves, but we can't be alone. People are busy. They're overwhelmed with all kinds of things. I can't go there. I can't look at that. But if I can hold my phone up and look at what that looks like there, then you're meeting a need of a new consumer that existed a few weeks ago. But I think, to your point, it is also one that is going to be emerging even more steadfastly right now.
Right. I mean, we were already seeing this trend of more people working from home. We were already seeing this trend of no one wants to go to the store. Everything's delivered to me. It'll be really interesting to see how that continues after this year. I mean, I think this is pivotal because my favorite meme of this week was, well, I guess we'll find out what meetings were really essential. You know, people like plan way too many meetings at the office. It'll just be interesting. I think, yeah, we're at this change and this is kind of forcing a lot of things and just being able to better understand, you know, a 3D something compared to a 2D something, you can see the back of it. Even if you're not using augmented reality, even if you think, oh no, no one's going to use that. Okay. Well, if I'm on your website and I can spin that product around and actually see every angle of it, especially if it's something from Home Depot, I'm going to have a better understanding of how that fits in my house. You know, I don't know if you do work on your house at home, but it always takes 3 Home Depot trips, I think, is the average to get what you actually need.
Yeah.
But just you have a better understanding of what that object is and what it's like.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there's all these different, I mean, home improvement seems like another area that is maybe under-realizing some of these tools and even home repair. It's like I've got a plumber that I like working with, I have several old sinks and I don't want anything fancy. I just want another one of those there. So finding some way to close up some of these gaps, I feel like is going to be huge.
Exactly. And that's what we're so excited about it. And it even goes to not just the consumer being able to better understand the product, but when we're talking with brands, they've also found value in the prototyping stage. So instead of actually having to physically make these prototypes, if they have a good enough 3D model that they can share with the team and talk about and, oh, let's change that material to suede or let's change this to red, they don't need to physically make a product. So they're also saving money there, which has been really interesting.
So one thing I think is, I was going to say one thing I think is interesting. I think all of this is incredibly interesting, but when you talk about the whole process end to end, and I think what might be useful would be to learn what's it end to end like working with Ventana. Someone shows up in the queue and presents with this problem. What's that look like end to end?
Great. Yeah, a lot of times people will come and say, you know, it's on our big strategy agenda this year. We need to start figuring out 3D content. And we say, great. Okay. How, you know, what are your products today? How are you designing them today? Let's look at your design. What programs are you designing in? And there's a myriad of programs. I mentioned in the beginning, AutoCAD, Rhino, Clo3D, a lot for fashion. And we say, great. And then where does this product go? And oftentimes that 3D model will get sent to marketing, but then it's not right. So a 3D artist might need to work on it for 3 to 5 days to fix it so marketing can use it. And we say, okay, that's where our software can jump in. So if we understand how you're designing these products, you can just upload that to our platform and it will optimize, convert it, and spit out all the different file types you would need for web, AR, and VR. So any sales and marketing can do what they need to do with it. But we really kind of sit down and say, okay, what are you doing today? What does your pipeline look like? What are your goals? And then here's how that could work for you.
So then what are some of the applications that then happen as a result of that?
Right. So then once that's done, they now have a 3D version of their products they can easily put on their website. So instead of just that 2D image, they can all be replaced. Our software just gives a snippet of code. It's very much like Vimeo. If you've used that to put a video on your website, just copy and paste. Or you can download the asset or use our API to create AR experiences. And so often a lot of the companies we're talking to are already working with an agency that is building their AR app, and they just need all their assets. So when all the companies I'm talking about, you know, Nike, Adidas, et cetera, they launch 25,000, 30,000 products a year. So you can't do manual 3D artist work times 30,000. You know, it just isn't feasible. So that's where we come in and help. And then the other end use case, because we have partnerships with Google. Google has their 3D ad platform. If you have a 3D model, you can actually start advertising with them across Google. We make it easy because they require very specific file formats to work, and you can just upload to us and say you need the Google asset and it will spit it out, and then you're ready to advertise there. We're also starting to do that for Facebook AR. Unity is a game engine that their ad network serves 1.1 billion views a month across all their games. When you think about it, it's crazy. And we're starting to be able to provide, you know, 3D advertisements across Unity. So there's this whole plethora of new ways to engage consumers. And it's so exciting because I would really encourage people, don't be afraid of it. If you're the first, the early worm gets, what is it? The early bird gets the worm. Yes. You know, I always loved Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, he does amazing talks, but he was really the first person to capitalize on email advertising. You know, when email first came out, if you got an email, you opened it. It was really exciting. Yeah. It's not like today. And so it's kind of that mentality of like, you want to be ahead of the curve and start using these advertising technologies sooner rather than later, because you're going to get more eyeballs on them.
Well, I think that when you talked about that whole process, I think that it can be scary for many, and especially something as cutting edge as 3D, AR, VR. And I think even just hearing you say that you have people, it always sounds very clinical in nature of presenting with the problem of, but saying that we need to start figuring out 3D content. And I think even that makes it sound like a place where a lot of businesses that may be listening are thinking that is exactly where we are. This is that's the conversation we would be ready to have. It makes it sound like a bridge that's a little easier to cross.
Yeah, it and that's great that you think that sounds easy.
Well, I mean, I think it is.
You know, there's a number of tools out there now, and it is just that next step of in your strategy as a company of saying, okay, we figured out digital. We have, you know, it was like when social media first became big. Everyone was like, oh, we have to figure out a social media strategy, which seemed scary at first, and now it's part of everyone's daily routine, you know, if you're a sales and marketing person. And now this is just kind of that next step.
Yeah. And I think that as we find ourselves at this point, that we are only going to be seeing more of that. And as so much of this is sort of the right now of what's next, as someone that works in the right now of what's next, what are you looking at, Ashley, in terms of what's on the horizon of what's next?
Well, I talked about gaming a little bit. So I mentioned Unity is a big game engine. Unreal is the other one. You know, I find it fascinating that I believe more people tuned in to watch the League of Legends tournament than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Louis Vuitton sponsored League of Legends this year. Like, who would have thought Louis Vuitton, this amazing luxury brand, would be in gaming? And gaming is just becoming that big. And so, you know, product placement is around the corner for these games. You know, why not, if that many people are watching and these gamers are celebrities, why isn't there a Lexus car in the background? that, you know, as we're walking down the street. And that's where these 3D assets become so important, because you can start doing all this really creative, amazing advertising, but it's more organic and engages the consumer in a more fun way than just, you know, a pop-up video ad. That is where I think I'm really excited to see where things go.
That's fascinating. And I also like your sort of correction, your edit there, because yeah, I think you could describe it as something like that, and it could, okay, this falls into the category of, and yes, we could put an ad there. And I like that you slowed down your speech, because I do feel like it's a little bit different. It's something more experiential, something more immersive. If, like you said, there's a Lexus there as opposed to, you know, just thinking of it as an ad, because the possibilities seem greater.
Well, yes, because then you think about, well, if everyone's playing, you know, if we're sticking with gaming, if I'm playing this game, maybe I see the Lexus, and if you're playing the game and they know you fit, you know, Ford F-150 truck, you're going to see a Ford F-150 truck. Yeah. And then we can actually change what content each person is seeing based on their demographic. So it starts to get really interesting and exciting there. And again, if anyone who's listening has done virtual reality, a 2D pop-up ad would be awful.
Yeah.
It would be awful. You know, it's abrasive in VR. You can't have things pop up at people. So I think, you know, it's just, it's really exciting. We have this new medium, and there's, it just leaves creativity wide open of what people can do with it, as long as they kind of have these tools and assets to begin with. That's kind of step one. And 3D can even be used on a 2D website. So, you know, it's useful. Or again, like IKEA's magazine was all those photos are actually from 3D images and CGI. So they're useful across the board and setting you up for this really interesting future that's around the corner.
Well, I think we even have to figure out new ways of talking about this too, because like you said, with the 2D ads popping up, and that's why most of the time when you talk about these cool, you know, gaming environments, and the A word comes in there of and an ad, it does make everybody takes a little bit of a step back. And I think it's not that. It doesn't have to be that. And all of those different scenarios you described, and especially how they could be customized, that's something that's really interesting. So we need some different words instead of ads.
Right.
Could be there.
What if it's like experiential in the digital world? Because really, you know, as we talked about now, South by Southwest canceled and all these events, which were great, amazing experiential events.
Yeah.
We need to think about it as an experiential event in the digital. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how can the Lexus brand be part of the story of this game, or something else that's levels beyond an ad? Because that seems
right.
Like
it's more
dated,
authentic.
Yeah. It seems like a dated term for what we're talking about here. That's really cool. Well, Ashley, as we come up to our time here, I have to ask you, for we've talked about lots of different brands, I always get scared that we've inadvertently stolen a brand that has made our guest smile, but what is a brand that has made you smile recently, Ashley?
So recently, I watched this video. It was Chipotle. They pranked this NBA player. He was a rookie on the Celtics team, and they had hidden cameras, and you know, he's brand new, hadn't got his first paycheck yet. And he walked up and they're like, oh yeah, your teammate, you know, he ordered for the whole team and all the staff, you know, the bill is $4,500, you know, he said you'd pay it. And he just like panics. And it was just really cute. And then, you know, the senior player walks out and he's like, don't worry, man. It was just funny. And I thought it was really creative.
That is great. That is fun and bringing a great smile to the face. So
yeah,
I will embed that in our show notes. Ashley, where can folks go to learn more about what you and Ventana are up to?
You can always come to our website. It's VNTANA.com, or all of our social media is Ventana Live.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in those show notes, which you can find at onbrandpodcast.com. Ashley, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much.
And if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment, rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.